I am Andrew Patterson, owner of Patterson Custom Homes, and I am a client of City National Bank. A couple of years ago, my business was growing rapidly, and I needed a line of credit. But the bank I had been with since I was 2 years old saw me as just a number, and they stonewalled me. So I spoke to Mike Kilbride, a business partner of mine, who has hooked up utilities at every one of the homes I've built for the last 17 years.
My name is Mike Kilbride, and I refer to Andrew Patterson to City National Bank.
Mike explained that City National is a relationship-based bank where they care about the individual. Less than a week after I met with the bank, I moved over all of my accounts, personal and business, and it was the easiest transition of my life. I have built over 170 custom homes, and that would not have been possible without the personalized service that City National provides for my family and my business.
The people you trust City National. Visit CNB.com to learn more. City National Bank, an RBC company. CNB, member FDIC.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Great to have you with us live and local now, coming up bottom of the hour, an eyewitness to the 9/11 attack joins us on the program just after 11:30. We may, by the end of this month, it's hard to believe it, but by the end of this month, we may have a confirmed new 9th member of the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, it's hard to believe. But this thing is running at breakneck speed. They had the hearings, confirmation hearings. I watched most of it. I obviously didn't watch all of it. Some of it was mind-numbing. Some of it was way over my pay grade. But it was fascinating to watch Brett Kavanaugh and how he handled members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, in particular the Democrats. Kevin Ring is the author of Scalia's Court, A Legacy of Landmark Opinions and Dissents, and he joins us on our City National Bank guest hotline. Kevin, first of all, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. What did you make of that three-ring circus they called a confirmation hearing?
Oh, you already took my line. It was an absolute circus. I thought it was a disgrace. I thought no one really handled themselves very well. I think Judge Kavanaugh must have thought he was on a different planet, because when you are a judge on one of the highest courts in the land, you're used to some reasonableness and some standard of decorum that just was totally absent. And it was, I thought everyone should have been embarrassed by it. I'm afraid it's the new norm. I think because the president talks tough, everyone's trying to talk tough now. And I just thought it was disgraceful, not only in tone, but in substance. I thought the substance was really weak, too. And if there were concerns that could be raised about his record, that's all fair. But I think it was a lot of smearing and innuendo.
I contend they didn't lay a glove on him. I didn't see one area where you know, kind of a gotcha moment. Did you see any of that, kind of the gotcha moment where, aha, this is what the real Brett Kavanaugh's like?
No, but what worries me about our culture today is that 9 million people or something viewed Senator Kamala Harris's, you know, 8-minute, you know, pretend grilling of him about talking to somebody about the Mueller investigation, and probably, you know, 100,000 saw the follow-up where she had no there. And so, you know, no, any objective measure, he didn't have a glove laid on him. But I don't know how that goes. I mean, this was clearly a play to the base. by the Democrats before midterm, and you know, so that's who the audience was. But in terms, no reasonable person could have thought that he did anything except acquit himself well. He was certainly, I don't know. I mean, more impressive than anyone asking him questions. So no, I don't think there was a gotcha moment. I think there were some fake gotcha moments, some made for TV gotcha moments. I hope people just saw how those ended because they all ended with a thud.
Again, Kevin Ring joining us, the author of Scalia's Court, A Legacy of Landmark Opinions and Dissents. Tell us about the book.
Well, it's sort of a greatest hits, which you normally wouldn't see out of a Supreme Court justice. But I compiled all his opinions, and I've read all his opinions, took the ones that were the most interesting and important, divided by categories from abortion, the First Amendment, to you name it, and just excerpted them in a way that non-lawyers could read them. And I just thought, this guy's not only a phenomenal judge, he's a brilliant writer. And these are things you could read. You could read a chapter, read an opinion. They're little interesting novellas because we don't have people that talk like this anymore on either side. People who talk about big issues in a big, smart way with a lot of nuance but also clarity. And he's funny. And I dare say you couldn't do this with any other Supreme Court justice. No one wants to read Ruth Bader Ginsburg's greatest hits or Elena Kagan's most famous opinions because they're just not interesting.
Boring.
Yeah, but he's not. He's not boring. And I think there's a lot that people would take from that, especially today when our debate is so debased.
I'm praying that Judge Kavanaugh, as Justice Kavanaugh, will be in the mold of Antonin Scalia. What was there special about Antonin Scalia? What was it that made him stand out from the rest?
I think that he was fearless, and he was fearless in pursuit of a constitutional theory of interpretation that I think most people share, which is the idea that you write down certain provisions because you want those to stand the test of time. It's not to say that if you want them to change, you can't change them. The Constitution provides for that. But that otherwise, you don't want a bunch of policymakers. This isn't a court of nine super legislatures. These are folks who are supposed to interpret federal laws, which is mostly what they do, and in the case of the Constitution, interpret it in a way that is reasonable. And it's not strict construction, it's not loose construction, but it is the idea that we're governed by laws and the super law known as the Constitution, not by the policy preferences of whoever gets to sit on the court. And that idea has taken hold. And, you know, the Federalist Society, which, you know, he was involved in the early creation of, this sort of movement in conservative legal circles that produced the Brett Kavanaugh, I mean, he deserves a lot of the credit for that. And he was its, you know, most brilliant leader.
What happens if and when Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed, if he is sworn in, that first day on the court, what happens? Is it like in football where you got to carry the shoulder pads of the veterans? Is there a rookie hazing process that goes on beneath those robes? What goes on for Brett Kavanaugh in those first couple of weeks?
Yes, he's got to run down the Capitol Mall naked. No, he has to. It's small stuff, right? So he's the last one to speak at conference. He's the one who has to open and close the door for messages. It's small stuff, but you know, it's a small group, and it's collegial. It's everything our politics are not, especially in Congress. But he's going to fit in very well because you know he's respected by these people. I mean, Justice Kagan was one of his biggest supporters. So despite you know, I always tell people to come to Washington. And you want to be inspired, go listen to a Supreme Court oral argument, because even with the justice you disagree with, you'll just be impressed by their clarity, their brilliance, how they can hone in on issues, and the debate is at a very high level. And if you want to get really depressed, walk across the street and listen to Congress, because that's just a food fight. And we saw the difference between those two things during these confirmation hearings.
Joining us, Kevin Ring. He is the author of Scalia's Court, A Legacy of Landmark Opinions and Dissents. And I'm assuming it's available in better bookstores, Amazon, people like that?
Yep, you can find it anywhere they sell books.
Let me just ask you, though. What can happen between now and then that first session? Is there any indication that Democrats, at least a couple of Democrats, will support Kavanaugh?
Yeah, I think that's likely. I think the few who haven't come out against him, You know, there's no reason to. I mean, he didn't give them any ammunition, and I think, you know, to the extent that they were keeping an open mind, I don't know how they didn't stay that way through this process, because he didn't say anything to hurt his cause. I think he only helped himself, and you know, at some point, we've just got to stop acting like a well-qualified 12-year veteran of the second highest court in the land. Being elevated to the highest court is a threat to the Republic. That just can't be the case, that every one of these openings and things like that is the end of the America as we knew it. And, you know, I think the hysterics are going to backfire. And you know, he's going to get a couple Democratic votes. He'll be confirmed pretty easily. And a year from now, we won't be talking about this. We'll have another, you know, sort of crisis.
Let me ask you, did Chuck Grassley need to run a tighter ship? I mean, I can't believe even on day 3 and 4, they still were carrying people out of that room after they would start screaming at the top of their lungs and protesting.
You know, sometimes I think if people are determined to hang themselves, you should just give them the rope. And I think Grassley's view was, you know, any attempt to instill order or kick people out would have been met with howls that, you know, they're trying to stampede this nomination through and they're afraid of the public's voice and all the rest. I think doing what he did, as chaotic as it was, let the other side show itself for what it was. And I think that was probably the right tack to take, even though it was messy and even though it was, you know, it was hard to look at. And I sure wasn't great for Kavanaugh's family to have his daughters leave, you know, that first day. That's not really how the most deliberative body in the world should work. But I think in the end, I think Grassley played it right. I think that was the smart move.
Kevin, what are the issues that Brett Kavanaugh will face in October? Do we know yet what cases the Supreme Court in the new term will be handling?
I'm not sure which the big ones he's going to have to tackle early on, but I mean, it's pretty clear it's not the stuff that's getting all the attention, right? I mean, so much of what people think about when they think about the Supreme Court is, you know, abortion or same-sex marriage or all these other issues. But, you know, 99% of the Supreme Court's job is just the lawyerly work of interpreting federal statutes and doing things like that. And most of these opinions are 9-0 or 7-2, just real legal questions that lawyers wrestle with. And so I think to the extent that people are thinking, oh, you know, the first things down the pike are going to be, you know, Roe v. Wade reversal and all the rest, that's not coming.
I want to ask you about some of the issues, obviously, that we've been talking about during the hearings. I'm curious from your perspective, as you look at all of these issues that Supreme Court will probably have to deal with, Are you fairly convinced that Brett Kavanaugh will be a truly conservative voice? We were all, for instance, stunned by John Roberts and his Obamacare deal. There have been other justices that we thought were going to be real conservative and turned out to be very moderate to liberal.
Right.
Do you worry about Kavanaugh in that sense?
I don't, and it may be just because I don't worry as much as others might about that. I think you want smart, bright people who have the appropriate view of the Constitution and its role in our society on the court, and I think he fits that bill. I don't know if he's going to get every issue right that every conservative is going to want him to in the same way, but, you know, it's funny that people keep saying that, oh, you know, the court's going to be a conservative court and it's going to be more conservative. And I think over the past 10 years, thinking the Supreme Court has basically upheld abortion on demand. They have upheld same-sex marriage. They've upheld Obamacare twice. If conservatives think, you know, if liberals think this is a very conservative court, I mean, conservatives don't view it that way. And so whether Kavanaugh changes that dynamic, it's hard to know. It's hard to know what Roberts does if some other precedents are threatened by Kavanaugh's presence, whether he'll change even further. It's hard to know. All I can say is, to the extent that conservatives care about getting experienced, principled jurists on the court, Kavanaugh fits the bill.
Let me just ask you about Brett Kavanaugh. What happens to a Supreme Court justice once they become a Supreme Court justice? And I guess my question is, will this guy still be able to coach his girls' softball team? I'm curious about that. The life of a Supreme Court justice.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And some justices, you know, more than others. I think most people were able to continue their lifestyle. It's not, frankly, the hardest working job in town. It's a serious job, but it's, you know, the hours are reasonable. And, you know, a lot of these justices, you know, still travel internationally, make speeches. Justice Scalia certainly did that, was trying to educate the public about the Constitution. Justice Souter and others, you know, people would bump into them around town. So I think Justice Kavanaugh is going to be able to coach his team and live a normal life. And probably, you know, it'll be a lot more normal because it's over, right? I mean, this is his last job interview, and he'll be able to just have some certainty about what he's doing.
Kevin, fascinating stuff. Thanks so much. I can't wait to see the book because I'm a big Scalia fan. It is called Scalia's Court, A Legacy of Landmark Opinions and Dissents. The author is Kevin Rink. Kev, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for being on the show. Good luck.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
That's Kevin Rink, author of the new book, Scalia's Court, A Legacy of Landmark Opinions and Dissents. Stick around. We got a whole bunch to do. Coming up, bottom of the hour, an eyewitness to 9/11 in New York on Fifth Avenue, watching a plane at 500 feet fly into the World Trade Center. What was that like? We'll let you hear in his own words. That's all coming up live and local now.
Attention, cat owners. The hottest product on the market for cats is Meowawana. You heard me, Meowawana. Relax, folks. Meowawana is 100% organic catnip. It's safe, all natural, USA manufactured, and designed to stimulate healthy activity for your cat. Choose from Meowie Wowie, Calico Kush, Purple Passion, and an entire line of toys, accessories, and apparel. Order now, get the Kevin Wall Special. 15% off. Just use the promo code WALL at checkout. Go to meowawana.com. That's meowawana.com.
Do you own or operate a business? Would you like to reduce your electric bill by 20, 40, even 60% by improving the efficiency of your AC unit? Then you need to check out FridgeWise. Headquartered in my hometown of Kansas City, my friends at FridgeWise have developed technology that can dramatically reduce the cost of cooling, including walk-in cooler refrigeration. For businesses as small as a mom-and-pop grocery or restaurant to the largest office building, retail space, or casino. How does FridgeWise do it? Well, your current unit runs at only one speed. But with a new smart motor, your unit will run at variable speeds, faster or slower, reducing electric use by 20 to 60%. And it'll keep your air at a consistent desired temperature. Depending on the size of your business, it could save you tens of thousands of dollars annually. Give them a call, 702-570-2501. That's 702-570-2501. Or check them out at reducemyac.com. That's reducemyac.com.
Do you want to earn a higher rate of return than you're making in the stock market? I'm talking about beating the market year after year. Hi, I'm Greg Herlihan. If you want to make more tax-free income, call me today at 888-738-1764. I specialize in helping people make more tax-free income with an IRA-approved retirement vehicle. And best of all, it's approved by the IRS. So what are you waiting on? Call me at 888-738-1764 and take control of your financial future with tax-free income. Call me at 888-738-1764. The consultation is absolutely free, so call me at 888-738-1764.
Horizon Trust Company is an independent passive custodian and is not associated or affiliated with and does not recommend, promote, or advise any specific investment opportunity, investment company, or any agents, employees, representatives, or other of such firms or entities. Investments are not FDIC insured, offer no bank guarantee, and may lose value.
Take control of your financial future. Call 888-738-1764.
Hello, this is Brent Jones again, owner of Real Water and Real MMA. As a Nevada businessman, I understand how difficult it can be to stay in business and remain profitable. Taxation, excessive regulation, employment issues, lawsuits, competition, increases in supply cost. The list goes on. That is why a group of concerned business owners formed the Real Chamber of Commerce. We need a pro-business environment in our great state. Unfortunately, taxes have increased dramatically this past year, and regulation just keeps increasing, making it harder and harder to make ends meet. We must take Nevada back. The Real Chamber will work hard on your behalf to fight against additional tax increases and more regulation. You need a chamber that is truly on your side. That is the real Chamber of Commerce. Please, join Real Water and other concerned business owners. Get involved and help take Nevada back. For more information, go to realchamberofcommerce.com. That's realchamberofcommerce.com or call 702-521-0632.
Roberto Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
In Mexico, there was a phrase we used to say after enjoying a wonderful meal. Fabuloso. That's what best describes the authentic Mexican dishes prepared at Roberto's. Choose from over 100 family recipes. You see, Roberto's uses only the finest and freshest ingredients available.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Ah, it's going to be a glorious day.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Oh, by the way, don't know if you saw this, but there are now members of Congress, Mark Meadows from the Freedom Caucus. He's also a member of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Claiming that Peter Strzok and Lisa Page conspired to unleash a media leak strategy to embarrass President Trump. And that's all according to Mark Meadows. Meadows made those allegations in a letter to Rod Rosenstein, who is overseeing special counsel Robert Mueller. Meadows wrote, quote, "Review of these new documents raises grave concerns regarding an apparent systemic culture of media leaking by high-ranking members of the FBI and the DOJ." Now, somebody explain to me why we don't have some sort of blue-ribbon panel to look at this. Why don't we have another Bob Mueller, another special counsel, to look at this? That's what we are facing. And that's why this president is simply going to have to go over the heads of the media and go directly to the American people. You know, we were talking about this with Kayleigh McEnany. She is of the belief that we're going to see the president out a bunch talking to Americans and essentially going over the head of the fake news media. It's about time. Coming up, Jim Yoder is our eyes and ears in the Coachella Valley. Yeah. This is going to be interesting. Jim Yoder was an eyewitness to 9/11, believe it or not. I know. Unbelievable. By the way, we're going to take you to the Desert Horizons Country Club Ladies Luncheon in the Coachella Valley. We'll do that in our next segment as well. Live and local, now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Across the state of Nevada and in SoCal too. Yeah, we are alive and local every day in the Coachella Valley on 98.1 Talk Now, news and talk that rocks. And today they're listening to us at the Desert Horizons Country Club Ladies Luncheon. Yeah, in fact, my buddy Jim Yoder was out buying baked goods for said luncheon. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. a shout out to our friends at the Desert Horizons Country Club Ladies Luncheon. Understand? Let's see. Do the male strippers get there before noon or afternoon? I don't know. Don't know. I had a chance earlier to visit with Jim Yoder, and as you know, he is our eyes and ears in the Coachella Valley. He was an eyewitness to 9/11, and I had a chance to visit with him, and I wanted to get his perspective. Now, 17 years later, 9/11, and I asked him where he was when the first plane struck the World Trade Center.
So I'm walking down Fifth Avenue that morning about a quarter of nine to go to a business appointment, and I'm looking right at the World Trade Center as I'm walking down there, and this plane flies over me at about 500 feet, and I think, oh, my Lord, this isn't right. And I watched that whole thing happen. I watched it go directly in there, make a circle, and go directly in there, and then I saw the second airplane. And it was a traumatic experience. I was stuck there for the week. But, you know, anybody who goes to New York knows Fifth Avenue, Park Avenue, the traffic's just bizarre all the time. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, there was not one car on Park Avenue or Fifth Avenue. The city was totally desolate. It was a very eerie experience.
And like so many, you were stuck. The airlines quit flying. And so really nothing was moving. There were no Major League Baseball games. No teams could travel. I was ensconced in a sports radio station in Detroit, where I had Phil Garner, then the manager of the Tigers, on with me every week, and I had him in studio because he had nothing better to do, and we spent like an hour and a half talking about everything but baseball. We talked about his family, my family, safety, the country, the world, terrorism. We talked about all that stuff. I'm curious, though, in the days after 9/11, which reminds me, how tough was it for you to get back to some place, a hotel or wherever you were staying? How difficult was it to traverse from Fifth Avenue all the way back to wherever it was you were staying?
I was staying at the corner of 55th and 5th at the Peninsula Hotel. I didn't have much of a problem. I was supposed to leave that day to go to Montreal, and of course I was stuck till Friday evening. Fortunately, at that point in time, I had my own aircraft, so I was able to get out on Friday night from White Plains and head back to where I was living in the Midwest. But even to this day, if you try to walk in the New York Hilton on 6th Avenue just to have a drink, there's a guy there checking your IDs. So it's still affected all those places. It's tough to get in some places now that are considered high risk by people in New York, even to this day.
Again, Jim Yoder joining us on our City National Bank guest hotline, and we're talking about 17 years ago today. Give us some scale here that we're talking about. You were walking along Fifth Avenue. You were looking directly towards the World Trade Center. You saw the plane fly overhead at 500 feet, 600 feet, whatever it was, and headed directly towards the World Trade Center. I'm curious what you thought. The initial reports were, it was probably just a 75-year-old doctor with a heart condition who passed out, and so it was like a Cessna or some small jet. Did you realize the scope of this, that it was a big airplane that was flying towards the World Trade Center?
Absolutely. I was in the business. I was in the aircraft business, and so I know a 757 when I see one. And it was pretty bizarre. But I knew something was up because I'm thinking, okay, well, that's not a flight path to Newark or to Kennedy, and they're flying away from LaGuardia. So I'm thinking, this is really a strange situation here.
Jim, let me ask you, how difficult would it be for somebody to just start taking lessons on how to fly an airplane into a building? I mean, that seems like, and again, every time I walk past a cockpit, I look at it and it looks very complex, and it doesn't look like something you can do on the first try.
That's what I don't understand, because I've been flying since I was 15 years old, and you know, you can fly these aircraft, but when you get into aircraft like those guys were flying, you have to have a type rating. And you have to know what's going on. And it takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of money. I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars. And it takes a lot of hours. So somebody was funding these people besides themselves, I have to tell you, because it wasn't an easy proposition for them to do it. Of course, they didn't learn how to take off or land. They just learned how to fly it straight and level. So that's not near as complicated. But still, I mean, just to get into the cockpit to take lessons on an aircraft like that, you have to be a pretty seasoned pilot.
Since 9/11, we have had air marshals. We have had TSA security, which I happen to believe makes us feel safe, but doesn't necessarily make us safer. The 9/11 Commission, I thought, said something really profound. They said, we are safer, but we are not safe. Since 9/11, in the 17 ensuing years, are we safer today than we were in 2001?
Maybe a little bit in the United States, but if you fly overseas, especially to Asia, Southeast Asia, the Hong Kong, Bangkok, Singapore, their security is off the charts compared to what we're doing. The people that do our security don't have the education level that the people in other countries possess. And I think we may be a little safer, but I think it's more perception than reality.
Yeah, when you see a granny being wanded, you say, hey, Harvey, look. Look, they're wanding that 85-year-old woman. We must be safer, and I don't believe it for an instant. What about flying? For people like you that have a general aviation license and you can jump in an airplane and fly, is it different going into cities, flying into cities now?
No, it's not different flying into cities at all. A little. The only difference is when you go to get in your airplane is that you drive to the airport, you get in your airplane. In some cities, they have some security for general aviation, but it's not very tight. It's not like it is for the commercial aviation industry, and that's what's a scary thing. Anybody can go out and get an airplane, hop in it, and do some damage.
In fact, we saw just a couple of weeks ago a guy in Seattle jumped in the left seat of I guess a 737 or I'm not sure what style aircraft it was, but flew it out of SeaTac. I think it was SeaTac or someplace out on the West Coast, and literally took it for a joyride and crashed it and died.
Yeah, he was suicidal, and he was an airline employee, so he had access to the ramp. It was a regional aircraft that Alaska Airlines operated, but he had access through his job to get to that type of aircraft. But, you know, if anybody wants to just get up and take a little Bonanza or a Cessna out, that's not going to be very difficult to do. The security is very, very lax there.
Are you surprised that we haven't had any other seizures of an aircraft, flying them into buildings, things like because with all of the options for terrorists on how to attack us, the electric grid, cybersecurity, things like that. Seizing an airplane and driving it into a building seems a little primitive. I mean, in comparison with some of the other options out there.
But the aircraft is still the terrorist's number one desired weapon. That's what they want to use. I think it's got the most emotional impact. It'll get a lot of more news worthiness. And they just want to use aircraft. That's their desired implementation device, and I think they're going to do it again. I know that we do have tremendous security above us with a bunch of F-15s flying over all the major cities 24 hours a day trying to keep it secure, but that doesn't keep somebody from taking an airplane off and trying to do something with it.
Well, and they always say that if somebody is willing to give their life in the cause of Allah or terrorism or whatever it might be, that you know, they only have to be right once. We have to be right all the time. Jim Yoder, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, I just don't understand, Kevin. I mean, these are enemies of America. Why don't we just deal with and call it what it is, radical Islamic terrorism. And these guys did this 17 years ago, and what are we doing today? We're not only allowing them in the country, we're welcoming them with open arms into the country. I mean, the enemy is being infiltrated every day, and we're encouraging it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand it.
Jim, hey, always good to visit with you. I know we'll get together in a week or so, but I wanted to have you on because you were actually an eyewitness to 9/11 and stuck. By the way, what did you do for 5 days in New York when New York City was essentially shut down?
Well, most of the restaurants were shut down. There were a few. I know that night I ended up being at Sparks Steakhouse, and the owner of Sparks' son had his office right across the street from the World Trade Center. So I was sitting with him, and he had videos of everything that happened from about 15 different angles from security cameras. And it was quite interesting to see. But there were just a few restaurants that were open, so I would go to those. But all the workmen, the hotels were so kind to all the first responders there, because they you'd be sitting in the lobby of a nice hotel, and these guys would come in with soot all over them and their helmets, and just filthy dirty and just exhausted. And it was just a sight to see. The smell of the city for the week or two was just awful. And but the hotels were very accommodating to the workers. But it was just it was like a scene out of a movie.
Yeah. I tell you, it's incredible. And to think it was 17 years ago today. Jim Yoder, always good, man. Thanks so much for joining us, and I know we'll talk again soon.
Kevin, great talking to you. Take care.
And I hope the ladies of the Desert Horizons Country Club Ladies Luncheon enjoy that. Hope the cupcakes are good, too, though, by the way. Anyway, it does beg a question, though. Are we safer today? I mean, 17 years later? Or do we just feel safer? We have spent tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars probably, over 17 years on Homeland Security. Any of you that have been through the Reno Tahoe International Airport or McCarran, you know about the heightened scrutiny by TSA. But is it all going to make us safer? Is it all going to make us safe? We'll see what you think coming up next. It's our wall-to-wall free-for-all. You want to talk about that? We can. You want to talk about something different? That's fine, too. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'm Kevin Wall. The program is live and local now.
One thing that we can all agree on is that we want a better education for our children. However, our government has proven time and time again that they are unable to provide the quality education that we as parents are seeking. In order to ensure the highest quality of education, it is important that we return power to the parents. They should decide where their children go to school and what they learn. I am Assemblyman Jim Marchant, and I honestly believe that a bloated, centralized bureaucratic machine is incapable of making decisions that are best made by you. At the end of the day, these unaccountable bureaucrats don't care about our children. They care about our tax dollars. Again, I am Assemblyman Jim Marchant, and I am running for re-election for Assembly District 37, and I humbly ask for your support and your vote so that I can represent our shared values in Carson City. Thank you, and please get out and vote. This election is absolutely critical for the state of Nevada, paid for by the committee to elect Jim Marchant.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
I'm Matt Hershkovich. I'm a reconstructive surgeon, and I'm a client of City National Bank. Michael Sherman referred me to City National.
I'm Michael Sherman. I'm a business trial lawyer. I make referrals very purposefully, and City National Bank has done a terrific job with me and my family, so it was perfectly natural for me to turn Matt on to the professionals that I deal with at City National.
I was extremely impressed with their level of service and professionalism. And the part that was most helpful for me is that I got to focus on what I actually trained to do, which was practice medicine, not worry about finances. It was exactly what I was looking for and the partner that I needed. He was spot on when he referred me to City National Bank.
The people you trust, trust City National. Visit CNB.com to learn more. City National Bank, an RBC company. CNB, member FDIC.
Cat owners, listen up. There's a new product for cats who have the need for weed. It's called Meowawana. This isn't your daddy's catnip. The purveyors at Meowawana have developed an entire line of 100% organic catnip, accessories, and apparel. And Meowawana is manufactured with no marijuana. But who cares? It is so cool. Check out their amazing website at meowawana.com. You'll find jars of buds, pill bottles of leaf and flake, spliffs, blunts, spray, and even medical Meowawana ID cards. Your furry friends will love it. And Meowawana is produced right here in the USA. It's a perfect treat for your BFF. That's best feline friend. And you know how good catnip is for your cat. It helps stimulate exercise and is safe and non-addictive. Order Meowawana now and get the Kevin Wall special. 15% off. Just use the promo code WALL at checkout. We're not kidding around. Go to meowawana.com. That's MEOWIJUANA.com. Meowawana.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Coming up tomorrow on Live and Local Now, I'm very excited. We are 8 weeks and counting to the midterm election. Did you know that? We're 8 weeks away from Election Day. And by the way, if you have not heard a lot of political ads, you will start hearing a lot of political ads and seeing a lot of political ads on TV. Now, there is a common notion out there that there's going to be some sort of blue wave. Not just here in Nevada, but around the country. Tomorrow on the program, why there may not be such a blue wave. Something to think about. We'll do that tomorrow on the radio program. Now, in Washington, there is this concerted effort to bring down our president. The Bob Woodward book, it's called Fear. It's just being released today. If you want to go waste $25-$30, you can go buy it. I would advise you to save the money and, you know, get a couple of scones and, you know, buy your office some Starbucks instead. But it is interesting that it is being coordinated with the anonymous editorial. You know that yesterday on the program, I badgered my friend, Victor Jakes, and I demanded that I get some sort of anonymous editorial. Because he's running the editorial page. Victor Jakes is running the editorial page for the next week or so while somebody else is on vacation. And simply put, I said, why can't I get one of those anonymous editorials? And he says, well, we just don't do it. Okay. Well, could you make an exception in my case? Anyway, that is the latest effort to try and brand this president as either unfit for office or in some way unworthy of the office. And one of the things that I think is going to happen, I think there's a possibility we could end up like 2010 and have a red wave election. Highly motivated Republicans. I think we could end up with that. Let's go to James, North Las Vegas. James, you're up. You're on Live and Local now. Go right ahead.
Kevin, always a pleasure. You know, I tell you, I don't think there'll be a blue wave, because I know when I talk to my Democratic friends, I go, okay, so what is the story? And they go, well, you know, all the Trump stuff about how bad he is, racist, blah, 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 blah. So I said, okay, but what is the message that the Democratic Party is telling us? What are they going to do for us or help the country? Where's that message? Because they're not giving that message. And they just kind of look with a blank stare and they go, yeah, but President Trump's is bad. I said, okay, so let's take him out of office. Now we got Pence. Okay, now what? Now what do you have? What message? So I honestly don't think there'll be a blue wave. I know I won't be voting blue at all across the board this time around. I'll go ahead and vote Republican. And I always call you and tell you I hate to do that, but I just don't see an alternative. There's no message from the Democratic Party.
You're right. One of the things that Democrats have forgotten about, that at some point in an election, you have to be for something. And Democrats just aren't giving us anything. Tell me what you're for. I got a poll. In fact, I had three poll calls over the weekend. Did you know that? And one of them was obviously a Susie Lee push poll. Did you know that the Danny Tarkanian supports tax cuts for the wealthiest 1%? That 40% tax cuts for corporations, big corporations making billions. It was one of those polls. And I told him I'm going to vote for Danny. I'm going to vote for Danny. I'm going to vote for Danny. But the fact is that's their message. Their message is resist, resist, resist. Impeach, impeach, impeach. The fact is, that ain't going to work. You better be for something. And right now, they're against everything that is Trump. I'm not sure that's a positive message. Can they turn it around in the last 8 weeks? I'm not sure they can. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Want to thank our crew. Jameson Wilk, always a great job. Tracy Brigida, Andrew Paul, Ashley. Thank you so much. You guys all do a great job. We will tee it up again tomorrow. Till then, I'm Kevin Wall. Make the most of the rest of your day. Live and local now. I recently Google searched digital... Look inside, let the sun take you away. Last night I only let it slip, and so wish that I could stay before the thing could answer me. Well, someone came and took the lamp away. I recently Google searched digital marketing companies in Southern Nevada and SoCal. And boy, there's a bunch of them. Hey, Kevin Wall here. So why should you commission Sofa King Creative Group to create and manage your company's website and social media? Well, to begin with, Sofa King Creative Group is one of the fastest growing digital marketing companies in the two-state area. They provide personalized support to each and every client. I should know, because that's the kind of service I get from Sofa King Creative Group each and every day. If you're in need of a new website, graphic design, a social media, SEO, or maybe you need all of the above, give them a call right now. They're standing by to take your call at 702-965-2016. Ask for a free evaluation of your website and your social media. It'll only take a few minutes to do, and again, it is absolutely free. That's 702-965-2016. One more time slowly, 702-965-2016. Or check them out at skclv.com.
KBET, Winchester, Las Vegas, 790. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
The wind and the water are coming. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
We are in a...